Thank you, John. Thank you for sharing. And I want to call on all of you. Let me just say, bring something. Bring a poem, bring a hymn, bring a testimony, bring a song that's in your heart. You know, let the Lord lead you in that, but I want everybody to bring something. I hope every week we have something up here. I'd be so blessed by that. So, and if you say, hey, I got something, I don't think I'd say no. He says he wouldn't say no to the pastor. I say, I don't think I'd say no if you said to the pastor, hey, I got something. I got something to bless the group with. Bring it. I encourage you, bring it. All right, so we are finishing up this series of messages. Very cross crowds, a play on words, as you know by now. The cross, meaning they weren't too happy, but they were also before the cross. Very cross crowds. I make decisions at times very carefully. Sometimes I'm very thoughtful, methodical, and careful when I make decisions. When I'm looking at purchasing something, I research it. And I start going online, Google, and I look at the images of it, and I look at the specs of it, and I want to make sure this is the best thing. This is the best purchase that I can get. And I've done that, like when I bought my guitar. I have several guitars, but the newest one that I bought specifically because I wanted the electronics to work while I play for church. And I researched. I spent lots of time looking up guitars, and I still don't know if I bought the best guitar. But I know that I did my homework, and I looked for guitars, and I looked at the electronics, and I looked at the wood that it's made out of. I did a lot of homework when researching that guitar. But sometimes I can be kind of lazy about it, and I just make a split-second decision. And it works well when you have to make those split-second decisions, but whenever I've purchased cars, I don't think I put as much effort into it. I remember when we bought our Chevy Cavalier a long, long time ago. It was a red car, and we had a blue car. It was a Chevy Lumina, I believe it's called the Lumina, and it was breaking down on us. It wasn't driving too good. So I basically drove it into the lot and I said, I need a new car. My wife is pregnant and I need something that's going to be reliable and get me down the road. And so we bought that thing. It was the cheapest thing they had on the lot, so that's why we bought that. But then later on, that car got hit by a truck. The truck smashed me behind, and then I smashed the car in front of me, and so I needed another car, and the insurance company gave me basically just enough to replace what I had, which it was a cheap car to begin with, and so I need a car, and I'm looking around, and a friend at church, he goes, I know this guy who's got a PT Cruiser, and he's ready and willing to sell it right now, and without much thought, without much research, I bought a PT Cruiser, and of course, you know, years down the road, it's been a good car. It hasn't been bad to us, but it's kind of like, I wish I would have done a little bit more shopping around and bought a car that I actually wanted instead of driving around in a PT Cruiser. But we do that, right? Sometimes we are very methodical and very selective, and we do all the research, and then other times, we are just quick in our purchases. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about those purchases. It's been said about democracy, it's a system of determination. It's the right to make the wrong choice. You have the right to be wrong. You have the right, and that's one good thing about democracy and a good thing about the country we live in. You have the right to be wrong. You have the right to choose the wrong thing and still be okay, I mean, within reason. You can't do illegal stuff, but you have the right to be wrong and still be okay. That's what the Jewish people did. And what Pilate did with Jesus and Barabbas. We've been in this series looking at, coming up to Lord's Supper, looking at Jesus, looking at him and the people, especially the people that were around him. They arrested Jesus. And then they took Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate sent him over to Herod, and Herod sent him back over to Pilate, and Pilate questioned him and thought, well, there's nothing wrong with this man, but still they were so determined, so flippant about it, so they didn't even consider for a moment that it would be better to release Barabbas instead of Jesus. They didn't think for a moment about who Jesus was. The most careful choice we can make, these people were careless, the most careful choice that we can make today is choosing Jesus. Our text this morning shows three ways that we choose Jesus with carelessness, number one. We choose Jesus with carelessness when we choose without making a comparison or contrast. Look at Mark chapter 15. We're going to be in the Gospels again today. Mark chapter 15, and we're also switch over to Matthew in a little bit. Mark chapter 15, verse 6 through verse 7. Now the feast, he always released to them one prisoner. One guy, every feast, they release one prisoner, whomever they requested. There was one named Barabbas who had committed murder in the insurrection and was bound with the rebels. And so he starts to lay out this contrast. We've got Barabbas. He's a murderer. He was involved with the insurrection. He's a rebel. And skip over to verse 9. He answered them, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Pilate probably thought that he was giving them a very clear contrast. Here is Barabbas. Barabbas is a murderer. Barabbas is involved with the insurrection. Barabbas is a rebel. He's with the rebels. This is who you might be able to have released. He's kind of comparable to some of the modern-day shootings that we've seen. If you think of the shooting that happened over that church over at Summerlin Springs church shooting, and how many that were killed and injured in the process of that, or the shooting in Florida, or even what happened over in Maryland, or what happened over, what was the other place that was mentioned today? Austin, what happened in Austin. We don't think of these people as good. You don't look at them and go, that's a good person and somebody that I want to hang out with. You think, that is a bad situation. That was bad what that guy did. That is not somebody I want out on the streets. That's not somebody I would want to release today. And so here they were given Barabbas. You got this selection. Or you have the king of the Jews, Jesus. Innocent, sinless. Jesus who is compassionate and loving. Jesus who is so good. The essence of good. Kind of like saying, do you want me to release to you Billy Graham, who is such a compassionate man, somebody who is full of integrity in his ministry? Do you want me to release to you Billy Graham, or do you want me to release to you Barabbas? And he probably thought he was giving them a clear picture. William Barclay points out, when people chose Barabbas, they chose lawlessness instead of law, war instead of peace, and hatred and violence instead of love. It's kind of like selecting ice cream over a salad. If I had the choice between ice cream or a salad, I would probably pick the ice cream, just to be honest. I look at the salad and I see rabbit food, to be honest. When I look at the salad, I would probably pick the ice cream. That said, my wife made me a wonderful salad this week, and I ate it, and it was terrific. And by the way, a member here with you, a member in your church, blessed me with an exercise bicycle, and I have used it every day. And I'm doing about 5 miles per day, which is a lot for me. I've never done 5 miles per day on anything. And so I've been trying to be faithful to it. Hopefully it's starting to shed off a little bit, and hopefully some of the salads I'm eating are working. But I'm just saying, if I had my choice, so bless you, the person that gave it to me, God bless you. If I had my choice, I would probably pick the ice cream. That's just how it is. And here they're offered. They got these two choices. And in Pilate's mind, it's a clear contrast. And yet they still chose Barabbas over Jesus. They were envious of Jesus. They hated Jesus. Barabbas, a murderer, somebody involved in insurrection. And yet they still chose Barabbas. But it's not always, it's not ice cream versus salad. It's not always bad versus good. But sometimes for us, it's good versus good. Those are the kind of choices that we face, right? It's McKenzie's. It's McKenzie's versus Five Guys. It's choosing a good burger versus a good burger. And which one do you pick, the good burger or the good burger? And you probably already have your choice in your mind. Not so with this decision. Not so with Jesus. It's easy to say, okay, well, I'll just go get a good burger regardless of what it is. It's still a good burger. But not with Jesus. Not with Barabbas. Barabbas, a murderer. Jesus, the Son of God, sinless, did nothing wrong. But they were envious of him. So when we choose, it's similar when we choose between choosing good versus good is like choosing It's like choosing Jesus versus Jesus, but choosing Barabbas versus Jesus, it's like choosing to share Jesus with a friend or not. It's such a clear contrast in my mind. Such a clear picture. Such a clear difference. But perhaps the contrast was not so clear to them. Barabbas. Barabbas's name, his very name, Jesus Barabbas, in the Hebrew it would be Joshua Barabbas. Barabbas meaning son of father. And so they had their choice, Jesus, son of father, or Jesus Christ, son of the father. Maybe it wasn't such a clear picture to them. Maybe they didn't have that clear image in their mind of the difference. It's like my dad, he was driving down the road one time. We had an old LTD, and there was a big rock in the road. And so dad, he either could go left and hit the incoming car, or he could hit the rock, or he could go into the ditch. And the ditch was one of those big ditches, not the little ditches like out here, but I mean, this was a big ditch. And he, one or the other, and he chose to hit the rock. Well, as a result, we had a big gash in our gas tank, and my dad, of course, had to get that fixed before we could go anywhere. We were stuck because it bled dry. You had three horrible choices, and which one do you pick? Sometimes making those selections, it's not always so clear. It's not always so clear which way you're supposed to go. You know, who to choose. It's not in our minds, it's not always good versus bad, but here are two bads or three bads, and which one do we choose? And so they were trying to pick between Jesus, who they were envious over, Jesus, who they loathed and they hated, or Barabbas. They didn't necessarily hate Barabbas, but a murderer and somebody involved in rebellion, insurrection. And for us, more often, it's good versus good. When we make decisions, it's good versus good. Do I choose to take care of my family, or do I choose to be with my church family? We start making those kinds of good versus good decisions, comparisons. We choose carelessly when we don't make those clear contrasts, those clear comparisons. We choose with carelessness when we choose without consulting our conscience. Look at verse 15. Verse 15, so Pilate, resolving to satisfy the people, released Barabbas to them. And when they had scourged Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Pilate gave in. Pilate gave in. Pilate didn't even consult with his conscience. He didn't consider it for a moment. Pilate gave in to their demands. He feared the people more than he feared God. And obviously, he didn't fear God. He feared the people more than he feared the right, doing what was honest and true and legal at that time. He feared the people, and he wanted to satisfy the people. And so he gave in. And the crowds gave in. The crowds gave in to the ones that were stirring up the trouble, causing the problem, and they all gave in. They all cried for Jesus to die. They all gave in to that herd mentality, that mob mentality. You know, there's been 8 riots. I looked it up on Wikipedia. There were 8 riots listed in 2017. They call them civil unrest. I call them riots, but they call them civil unrest. 8 of them in 2017 listed on Wikipedia. Some of them that I remember, there was the Berkeley one with the guy named Milo Yiannopoulos. I couldn't even say his last name. Milo went over, and he went over to talk, and they were upset about it, and so they stirred up trouble and said, no, we're not going to have this guy talk, and we're not going to let you talk. And I just wonder how these kinds of things get started. Oh, yeah, they're going to go start trouble. Let's go with them. I mean, would they have gone if somebody else hadn't gone? The mob mentality where it's, oh, yeah, they're going. Oh, they're throwing rocks. Let's throw rocks, too. Oh, they're breaking windows. Oh, that sounds fun. Let's go break windows, too. They get away with it. Let's do it, too. Let's trash this car. And whatever goes through their mind, I don't know. I remember the one in May that was May Day. over in Olympia in Portland, and the one that happened there, the anarchists that were stirring up trouble against the law enforcement and all of that happened over in Portland and Olympia over on the West Coast. And I just picture what's going through their mind. Oh, man, I wouldn't do it by myself, but somebody else is with me, and so I'm going to go throw this rock because they're with me, or I'm going to go hit this officer because they're with me, or I'm going to take this baseball bat. I wouldn't normally do this if it were just me, but because they're with me, because I'm not alone in this, I'm going to go do this. And that herd mentality, that mob mentality that happens, and I picture that at the cross. I picture that with the crowd at the cross. How many of them would have saw Jesus and said, here's an innocent man who is worthy of nothing but love. Oh, let's crucify him. But they all shouted for it. The whole crowd of them shouted for it. That mob mentality, that herd mentality that they was stirred up. And how often do we make decisions on the same basis? We make decisions when it's expedient. Let's take this shortcut. And they're not always bad decisions. Let's take this shortcut because it's the easy way to go. Or, you know, there's an accident up ahead. Let's take this other route because we want to avoid the accident. Or we give in to pressure. We give in to pressure. You give in to your coworker's idea. Maybe the coworker has a good idea, but you wanted to do your idea. But you give in because you gave in to the pressure. Or you give in to pressure when your kid is whining and you don't know what else to do and you just want to get rid of the whining. And so you give in to pressure. And it happens so frequently and so often. We can't always blame those that do because we do it too. We give in to pressure. We do what is expedient. It's like a Tesla, you know, those Tesla cars that were invented. I don't know where they're at with them right now, but the automatic cars where you're supposed to be able to just let it drive for you going down the freeway, and they said, well, you don't want to take your eyes off the road. You don't want to take your hands off the wheel. And supposedly they were making some safety precautions because what was happening is people were taking their eyes off the road, taking their hands off the wheel, just like our conscience going into cruise control, right? And they would do that and they would come into accidents. And what happens when we're being pressured for things that are wrong to do, and when we see the expedient route, our conscience, it just goes into cruise control. And we'd start taking our eyes off the road. And what happens when you take your eyes off the road, even a Tesla automatic car, accidents happen. Bad things happen when you take your eyes off the road. I could preach that, you know. Bad things happen when you start taking your eyes off of Jesus Christ. You get your eyes off of Christ and you get your eyes off of being into the world or into something else, and bad things happen because you took your eyes off the road. That'll preach, I tell you what. How often do people ignore their conscience with Jesus? We just put our conscience into cruise control. We ignore our conscience. God pries at the heart. Even today, I guarantee you, God is speaking to you about something. He's speaking to some of you, maybe all of you, about something that he has for you or wants for you, or how he wants you to share with somebody in your life, with a friend, a family. He's speaking to you, laying something on your heart right now. And what do? We ignore it. We ignore that conscience. Why? Because our conscience goes into cruise control. We just say no to it. God is talking to you. He's speaking to you right now. And what are we doing? We say no. We just ignore it. He's prying at the heart. Why? Because we're not ready. We're not ready to answer God when God is calling to you and speaking to you. You're not ready for it. Today's not the day. This week is not the week. I don't have time for it, Lord. I don't have time for you right now. I don't have time for you in my life. I'm too busy with my family. I'm too busy with my kids. I'm too busy with my grandkids. Too busy with my job. And we keep ignoring God prying at our heart. We keep putting that conscience into cruise control. Friends, are you ready? You may not be ready to respond to the Lord today, but are you ready to meet Jesus tomorrow? We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the rest of today holds. We don't know what next week holds. This could be our last. Tomorrow could be last. We don't know. Yet we keep ignoring. Are we ready? I'm not ready today. And we keep ignoring. We keep not listening to the Lord. It's time to stop ignoring God and start listening instead. Number one, comparison. We need to make those contrasts. We need to see how Jesus is different and so important in our lives. Number two, conscience. Stop ignoring it. Number three, we choose with carelessness when we choose without considering the consequence. When we don't consider the consequence. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to jump over to Matthew. Matthew 27, verse 24 through 25. Matthew 27 says this, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, but rather that unrest was beginning, he took the water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See to it yourselves. Again, I preached on this last week. Pilate did not want the responsibility. Sometimes we don't want the responsibility for our own actions. Sometimes we don't want the responsibility for our church, or we don't want the responsibility for our own lives, and we try to blame other people. Pilate didn't want that responsibility. He says, he doesn't say, oh, I'm going to let this man die anyways, which would have been his fault. But he says, no, I'm not going to take the blame for this. You guys take the responsibility. And what do they say? Then all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. They disregarded the consequence of their actions, and not only disregarded it, they accepted it. They disregarded the, they didn't even know what the blood was all about. You know, as I thinking about disregarding the consequences and accepting it, as a child, I remember, I've probably shared the story before, but as a child, I climbed up onto my roof, on my dad's roof. I was about, I had to have been under 7 years old. I was about 6 years old, probably. And I climbed up onto, up the ladder onto our roof, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I decided to kick over the ladder. And it was one of those, what was going through my mind at the time? I don't know. I was thinking I was going to be Superman or something. I just thought it was a cool thing to do when I was 6 years old. And I'm assuming I made it down okay. I don't remember much after that. I think I jumped onto the shed from there. But it was one of those moments where it's like, you're on a roof, no ladder. What was I thinking? Ignoring the consequence of my action, but accepting it at the same time. And that's exactly what they did. They ignored the consequence of their action, but they accepted it at the same time. His blood be on us. It's like saying, I got it. I got it, not knowing how much the bill is going to be at the restaurant, but I got it. I'm going to pay it. And then you see the bill later on. Or I got it. I can carry this, not realizing how heavy it is, the thing that you're trying to carry. I got it. I can handle it. And then you're trying to carry that thing. Oh, man, it's heavy. Not realizing how much it was going to weigh. I got it. I can handle it. I accept it. But there was so much more to the blood of Jesus than they realized. I think if they had understand for even a moment, they wouldn't have done it. So much more to the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. We're talking about Lord's Supper coming up. And what they used to do, of course, they would take those lambs and they would sacrifice them as a covering, as a blood covering for their sin. Symbolic of course, true forgiveness. And God provided the true forgiveness. The idea of Passover, they would put that blood over the door and the death would pass over them. The Lord would not take them. And of course, they continued to remember that. Every year they celebrated Passover and they would sacrifice that animal. For the forgiveness or the covering of their sin, of course, Jesus is the true sacrifice. Jesus is the true Passover. Jesus is the one that came to take our sins away. Through the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness. Through the blood of Jesus, we have salvation that comes through his blood. Through the blood of Jesus, we have eternal life. I had a woman call me this week, and she was talking about, this last week, she was talking about the clean and unclean. She had come into an understanding of the seventh day, and she wanted to ask me about the clean and unclean, and whether, you know, if she messed up with it, would she still be saved? And I told her, woman, you are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. I didn't call her woman. You are, that's what came to mind at the moment. You are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what I told her on the phone. You are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ are you saved. Your forgiveness is in Him and through Him. The clean and unclean and all such laws we follow by obedience, by love, and we understand the principles behind those laws. But you are saved. You are born again through Jesus. And only by the blood of Jesus. They didn't realize it at the time when they accepted the consequence of His blood. But it's through the blood of Jesus that we have eternal life. It's not by works. It's not by acts of kindness. I could go out and be nice to everybody today on the streets, and that's still not what buys me eternal life. That's not what gets me saved. It's not what gets me into the kingdom of God. But only by the blood of Jesus Christ are we adopted into the kingdom of God. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ are we saved. Jesus took Barnabas' place. That's a profound thought in my mind. Jesus took Barnabas' place. He not only took the place of the animal sacrifice, but He took Barnabas' place. And Pilate set Barnabas free. They demanded it. They cried out for it. So He set Barnabas free, and Jesus took his place. Today, Jesus takes your and my place. We are sinners. We are the ones that deserve the judgment from God. And Jesus takes our place. Jesus takes my sin. I must choose for me. I must choose for me and consider the consequence. I must choose the Lord Jesus for myself and consider all that the Lord has done. Consider how He has saved me and cleansed me. I must choose for me. I must consider the consequence for myself. That consequence, whether I have eternal life or whether I have eternal destruction, it's my choice. I choose Jesus for me. Choose Jesus Christ carefully. Consider the comparison. It's a clear contrast. It's a clear contrast. We choose Jesus, or we choose ourselves. We choose Jesus, or we choose the world. And there's no comparison. The contrast is so clear. We consider the comparison, and I use that word comparison loosely, because what I'm saying is consider the contrast. Consider how they're different. Consider how Jesus is different from any other option, any other choice that you can make. Only He died for you. Only He brings forgiveness and salvation to you. It's so clear. Consider the conscience. It's easy to give in to pressure and expediency. And God pries at our hearts. God is picking away right now at your heart even today. Consider your conscience. Listen to the Lord speaking to your heart. Stop ignoring Him. Consider the consequence. They disregarded it. They accepted it. They said, "There's His blood be on us." And there is so much more to the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. And we choose eternal life over eternal destruction. Consider the consequence. When you choose carefully, I want you to listen to me very carefully right now. Listen carefully. When you choose carefully, I believe with all my heart, if you choose carefully, it will lead you to choose Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that if you are already a born-again believer today, it'll lead you to choose to follow God's Spirit. Listen to His voice when you choose carefully. Careful consideration will lead you to Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? Can I get a big amen? I'm going to pray for you. Do we have a closing hymn? Did we have one selected? I don't remember. Okay, if you want to go ahead and come up. I encourage you to consider. We're coming into the Lord's Supper. I don't mean to ramble on for a little bit longer, but let me just talk to you for a second. We're coming into the Lord's Supper, and it's a time that we always think about what the Lord Jesus has done for us, the sacrifice that he has made, when we wash other people's feet, when we take the juice and take the crackers and we think of what Jesus has done for us, I say today, don't wait till the Lord's Supper. Choose carefully today. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you just help us as we are, as you're speaking to our hearts even this morning, Lord, as your Spirit is with us, as you're leaning on us, whatever it is that you have for us to do, whether it's to pray more or get in our Bibles more, or if it's to share the gospel with somebody, or if it's to make that decision for ourselves, whatever it is, Lord, that you're speaking to us, help us to not ignore it. Lord, help us to not ignore your Spirit. Help us to choose carefully, see that clear picture that you're trying to give us, Lord. Help us to choose you. I pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen.